Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Entertainment Network podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy beverages. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey!
Look who's here.
Look who walked in. Hey. Look what the cat dragged in.
I've been here the whole time.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, we are live on Booze Dancing Entertainment Network. It is a Whiskey Tuesday. We're here to bring you, the drinking public, another amazing award-winning effort in podcast entertainment with another episode of What We Watch When We Drink. And we're celebrating a bit here today because it is International Podcast Day. Hashtag International Podcast Day.
Hashtag apparently.
Celebration. Apparently. Hashtag apparently. Hashtag there's a day for everything.
National Coffee Day.
That's right. Hashtag coffee.
What if you had a podcast about coffee?
We would have been on yesterday.
I would have not been on it.
Is that a twofer, though? Do you get one yesterday and one today?
I guess.
Yeah, I think you got a podcast both days.
You go on a bender? Is that what happens?
Yeah, exactly. A coffee bender.
It's a four-day weekend.
That's right. It's a big one. I like it. There's gonna be an after party later for the big event, and you're all invited to that. Stay tuned for details.
We got swag bags?
There may be swag bags. Joe Rogan is not giving you that kind of after party after his podcast. I can tell you that. So we're the unofficial podcast of International Podcast Day. Though we're not, that's not true in the EU, Africa, Asia, South America, parts of Canada and Mexico, and all of Australia. But we are, as is true in Greenland. So we're good in Greenland.
And Guam. Don't forget about Guam.
Guam's part of America. That's part of the United States, yes.
Well, Puerto Rico.
Again, a U.S. territory, so that counts.
You got to remind them. They don't know.
Bienvenidos.
That's right. We got a really big show today. Brand new TV show that we're going to talk about, and a brand new bourbon we're going to talk about. And a little different for us, we're going to actually have some cocktails we're going to talk about too.
That's right.
And all from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network official bar, which is on the third floor of the big building here. Before we get into all that, we want to remind everyone that this is a live stream and it's in all the usual places, and you can join us with your comments. And it'll be out as a downloadable podcast in about a week or so. And do not forget to go to all of our socials or boozedancing.com to watch my two cohorts here review all kinds of libations at the murder table. If you're a producer or distributor or brand ambassador and you would like to have your booze reviewed, contact us. We're happy to do that, and we'll see what we can do.
By the way, you know what's really impressive?
What?
We are men of a certain age, or we're getting close to that age.
Yes.
The fact that we can live stream is pretty good.
Barely, yes, but this is true.
Speak for yourself.
It is pretty amazing.
I live stream all day long. Sadly, I'm asleep for most of that. Stream
going. That's why they have mattress pads. You're okay.
At some point, we won't be live streaming anything because we'll be unalive streaming.
By the way, this segment is brought to you by Depends.
That's right. Correct.
Boys for men.
Boy, so where do we start here? We were contacted, and you have more information on by the Milam and Green marketing company, correct?
Yeah, I don't know who their new marketing folks are, but yes, they sent us an email. They said, if you're interested, all they said was reply yes. And I'm assuming we all replied yes. And they were kind enough to distribute this lovely bottle of the brand new Milam and Green Provisions blend of straight bourbon whiskeys.
Yes. We have a bit of a history with Milam and Green. Heather, I think we can consider a friend. We can consider Marlene Holmes a friend. Marsha Milam is whose name is on the bottle. Like and Heather Green. We have been reviewing and talking up their wonderful bourbons and ryes since they started, I believe.
That is true.
And we have seen their growth really, really come to it into its own with such a heavy hitters running the show there. I'll look at Mike with his. Oh, we also got really cool. I guess they're handkerchiefs, scarves. Yeah,
it's a kerchief.
Kerchief.
We'll call it a kerchief.
And what if it's a very sunny day and I don't want to burn my head.
There you go.
Hey.
That's right. So we are happy that they kept us in mind and sent us this brand new offering. So we're going to talk about that as well as what? No, wait, one second. We're just going to intro here. And we're also going to talk about a brand new TV show that just started. I believe it's we watched the first two episodes. It's on FX and also via Hulu. It's called The Lowdown. And we will talk more about that shortly. But first, before we get into all that stuff, how are we doing, gentlemen? How are we doing on a Tuesday night?
Living the dream. It just couldn't get any better.
Super duper.
Super duper. You know, it's a big
deal. Dokily.
Not enough for you guys so much.
I got up this morning and I had not one, but six shots in my spine.
Oh, well, that's a lovely thought.
Shots of what?
Shots of what? Yeah.
Urban Myelomane Green, but they said that you use it. I don't know why. Apparently, not fair of whiskey. I don't know why.
Yeah, they stopped using actual medicine in epidurals. Now they're on right back to the original medicine, which is alcohol.
You know, you get to be that a certain age, and then suddenly the bones don't work like they used to, and they slide in and out of places.
This is true. This is true.
So I had my lumbar spine stabbed repeatedly. It was like a building bee. It was terrible.
And your wife wasn't involved. Interesting.
She may have been involved.
The stabbing part. See, that's
let's get something straight. If the Nabulodon did the stabbing, Mike would not be here right now.
Oh, and it's not with a medicinal needle. It's more like with
stiletto,
some sort of a kitchen knife,
something longer.
Only the finest knife though, so it goes right through.
It might be clean.
And then she cuts a can, and then a tomato. It's amazing.
May I quote Billy Joel? She cuts you once, she cuts you twice, yet still you believe.
Oh,
the wound is so fresh, you can taste the blood, but you don't have strength to leave. That's all I'm going to say.
That's great.
Hey.
I don't even know that song, but that's great.
Stiletto.
Mike's had a big morning already, big day. It's also the first day of postseason baseball. Mm-hmm. It's Wild Card Tuesday. Games are already in progress. Your Phillies have a few days off here before their first round. So we are rolling along here into fall.
And FYI fall means score,
sorry.
Bottom of the ninth, Red Sox up 3-1 over the Yankees.
Yes. And my Dodgers start in any minute. Well, it's fall, whiskey time as usual. Great for cocktails and such. So we are going to, before we jump in too far, we're going to try this Myelomane Green brand new blend of straight bourbons. It's called Provisions, I believe. Is that right, Angelo?
Yeah. Shall I read what they sent?
Yeah. Please do. Okay, we're going to try this. We're going to try this on its own first.
Yes. There's a booklet and there's just this one little lovely little postcard. Kentucky gave us the bones. Texas lit it on fire. The hill country isn't gentle. It beats on barrels with brutal summers and sudden cold snap, dragging flavor out of the oak, whether it wants to or not. That's where the magic happens. And behind it all, the most awarded whiskey team in America, not chasing ghosts, not bowing to so-called legends, just making a bourbon that knocks the crown off their heads. This isn't nostalgia. This is the whiskey that takes over. Pour it, mix it, drink it straight. Whatever you do, know you're holding the future in your hand. Provisions Bourbon by Myelomane Green.
Well, so this would just get it. Oh, this is, and did you say this? I thought I read there's something different on their website.
What?
I thought it said 40%. This is 48%.
Is it? I thought it was 40.
Yep, but if you look at the bottle, it says 48.
Really?
Interesting. No,
I thought it was 40. Unless I can't read the that's zero. 40. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It looks like an 8. It is 40.
Yeah, they just draw a line through the zero.
Yes, yeah, correct. So
as to not be confused with an O.
With an O, that's right.
The no.
You know, I got to tell you, the packaging.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. I can't help but notice the bottle shape is different.
It
correct.
Is.
It's not their typical bottle.
Nope.
I don't know if I like this one better.
I don't know.
Pretty nice.
It's different.
It's pretty nice.
We don't know the marketing strategy behind it. This is the first edition of this this blend.
They got a big chunk of clear glass at the bottom.
Yep.
They got the little medallion in the middle. It's really nice.
It's pretty sweet. With their logo on there.
It's got a real cork. It's
got a real cork too. Yep.
It's got a corker.
This is the autumn 2025 release. So we are going to try this.
And it's Batch Edwards Plateau. Do we know what that means?
Is that where it's aged? Maybe? Is that where the barrels were stored?
Is that what it is? They put it at Edwards Plateau to age it?
I don't know.
Clinky, clinky. A little cheers.
Clinky, clinky.
Not Texas.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that was good.
That's just sad. Yeah,
well, I'm using a Milam and Green glass.
I am too. Mine dinged very well.
Well, no, I have this little small one I sent.
I got the little one too.
Yeah, that's nice.
I got the Glencairn.
Smells good. It smells like a good bit of rye in this one.
So I think it said it on the website that it was.
Did they give you the what's it called?
It did. I saw it on their website.
Tastes like a good bit of rye too.
Yeah.
I jumped right in. Oops.
Oopsie. Oopsies. You are a bad, bad man. Oh, ye of little patience. Let me see what they have. There's a lot more stuff. There's a whole bigger pamphlet here with some lovely photography. Nice soft focus, you know, nice looking.
It's just delicious.
People, art terrification, anything.
Yeah, there is more. I saw it on the web.
Yeah, there's more, but that's okay. That's
all right. Mash bill, 70% corn, 22% malted rye, 8% malted barley. Huh. And the suggested retail price is $36. So this is approachable bourbon.
This is going to be, you know what they're going for. They're going for table bourbon.
That's right.
They're going for table whiskey. They want this
a session whiskey that can be used for cocktails, hanging out. Yeah. Sitting by the pool, whatever.
This is the after work. This is, I just got home. I'm going to take the edge off. Tran.
This is the, I'm still at work. I may have a problem, but I've got really good whiskey in my desk. Tran.
It's also, because it's good for cocktails, it's also good for a bar. Getting it on a bar shelf.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that is just.
Delicious.
Delicious. Delicious. Wow.
Just delicious. What a sipper.
Oh my gosh! So it's got a big dose of sweetness. The corn in there.
That's Angelo's nickname from college. Big dose of sweetness.
Big dose of sweetness. You know. Unfortunately, that name never stuck.
Boy, that is. There's a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
A little bit of heat. Definitely all those great bourbon flavors. There's vanilla. There's a little bit of cinnamon going on. Boy.
You get the hint of that rye sharpness. Little cereal-y, little grainy, there's some kind of malt, corn, barley, whatever in it.
What is the that's nice. When does it become a high rye bourbon? What's the number?
Yeah, I was thinking that when you said 22% didn't sound particularly high, but
I thought that was high. While you were talking here, I'm going to do a little check in here.
Boy, that's good. Really good.
That is very nice. I like that. See, now, when we were at the Lila's last week, Aaron.
Yes, yes, yes.
They were making a ton of old fashions. Ton of old fashions.
Yeah.
And they were using Evan Williams.
Correct.
The whole time.
Solid bourbon.
Yeah, very solid. That is, I think, a good bit less than, I don't know what it goes for these days. What's about
20 bucks, maybe?
Yeah, 2025.
Yeah.
2025?
Yeah.
So, they're in the price point with this.
And we're talking, this is a small batch kind of company, too.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, you also got, this beautiful bottle. That ain't free.
That's right. Yeah. I just looked real quick here online, and high rye bourbons run 20 to 35% on the rye component. So this is on the low end of that, but this would be a little bit higher than
That is really, really good.
Yeah.
I like that. That is that's an everyday sipper.
Every day.
This is what's that thing you said before? Like, someone says, I don't like bourbon. Well, maybe you just haven't tried the right one.
That's right.
I'm thinking that's a pretty good gateway.
Yes, this is a great,
dangerous gateway.
This is a great gateway to get into other Milam and Greens too.
And for the larger rye content, they've curbed it enough that it's just delicious.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, corn and sharpness. It's, you know, they've rolled this out. Marlene did an outstanding job.
Well, you know,
I think Heather was the blender, right?
I think that she's like the, that's her, isn't that her? She's the master blender of the place. So
blender?
Yeah. Okay.
I believe so. I believe
that's Marlene's the distiller.
Marlene's the distiller.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. She that actually won really 2024 Distiller of the Year, I believe. Yeah.
That is a serious. Now, they said it's made in Kentucky. So, I mean, do you think Marlene oversaw the distilling process?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that.
From the Tale of Two Bourbons, that's what they said she did then. She went to Kentucky and oversaw what was going on. They have a partner that they work with, and she took over for, you know, a day or 2 days or whatever it was for the run. And I'm guessing she did it again. Or Ange, maybe this is from that same run. I don't know.
Did it say in there, Ange, any kind of age any of this? Kind of ballparkish, or is it just kind of...
I don't know. I mean, the material, they give you a lot, but I didn't really notice any of that. But whatever. Okay. I mean, it's got to be what? At least... What, 2 years, 4 years? How many years?
I'm guessing it's fairly young, but it doesn't taste young, right?
No, not at all.
That hyper aging in Texas, right?
Yep.
Right, right.
Their Angel shares significantly more than.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it's probably on the website, but whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
The
point is, it's delicious.
And the aging, as I was going to ask this too, it's aged in Texas.
Correct.
I like the Texification process that they mention. Yeah. Provisions Bourbon represents the best of Milam & Greene's texification process. Pot stilled in Blanco, Texas, and artfully married with our own Kentucky bourbon, this signature approach involves bringing single slick barrels from Kentucky down to Texas, where additional aging occurs. So it's using that. Now, I'm guessing that the Edwards Plateau is just a place possibly in that they're kind of just highlighting in, or maybe that's where they are. Maybe they are on the Edwards Plateau. In was that West Texas? Is that West Texas? East Texas? East Texas, right?
Well, I just went to the Googly, and the Edwards Plateau is in Texas Hill Country.
That's where they are.
It's the southeast portion.
That's where these guys are. Yep. So great, we have jumped into this wonderful brand new offering from Milam & Greene Provisions, a straight bourbon blend. Really, really tasty. And we're going to do something else with this shortly. So we, somewhat kind of weirdly connected, maybe, we chose a brand new TV show that started 2 weeks ago.
No, last week.
Oh, last week. They just put out two episodes the same at
yes,
once,
correct.
Right? Yep. The Lowdown on FX, correct? FX?
Correct.
And brand new and... Ange, do you have a little write-up about it? A little summary, maybe?
There's a brief one. I'm just going to read off of the IMDb page. Let's say here. A determined bookstore owner in Tulsa moonlights as an investigative journalist, digging into local corruption. When his reporting uncovers sinister connections, he must protect both his family and the truth. And this is by Sterling Harjo, who brought the great Reservation Dogs to our world, which we enjoyed immensely. Which I think made like what top five every year it was out.
Yeah.
It stars, let's see, who's the stars in this show? We got Ethan Hawke, who I think is also a producer, Keith David, Ryan Kira Armstrong, Rachel Crowell, let's see, Dale Dickey, Zachary Booth, Joby James, Gene Triplehorn, Scott Shepard, Cody Lightning, Kyle MacLachlan, Abby Cobb, Carrie Malloy. Who else here? What's the other? What's that woman's name? Kanihito Horn.
Oh yeah, right.
The dear lady from what's it called? And also from Letterkenny, correct?
That's right. She in Shoresy? No, she's not in Shoresy. Only Letterkenny.
No, she's not in Shoresy. Yep. Macon Blair, Tim Blake Nelson, Tracy Letts, and Michael Hitchcock.
It's a quite a cast, and
it's a Peter Dinklage. Don't forget Peter Dinklage.
Not yet. We haven't seen him yet.
We haven't seen him
yet. He's still going to be in the cast.
Oh, we haven't seen him yet.
So we haven't So this is a bit of a love letter. I've heard a couple interviews or seen a couple conversations with Sterling Harjo. He's from Tulsa, and I believe he's part American Indian, correct? And so this is all as reservoir dogs, reservation dogs. This is also a love letter to the area, to that world he grew up in. That was Oklahoma, but this is Tulsa. That's rural Oklahoma. This is Tulsa, the city. And the little kookiness that you find in a small town, in a town. And it's an interesting story that's told, although we're just getting into it. It's really a kind of show that we like because it's got this kind of interesting group of characters, and they all have a little slice of life, and they all kind of how they all act together is really fun. Excuse me.
It's quirky. It's got a lot of humor.
Yes, and there's also an element of darkness because I think there are some elements to the history of Tulsa, which is very dark, and is only kind of really coming to light in the last few years about the tragedies that happened in Tulsa in the last 100 years or so. And this actually talks about the culture around some of that to some extent. And so I think it's going to be really fun to get into as we go farther. Anyone going to chat up the first episode or so? I probably can find a little bit of a write-up on the first episode. Here we go. Self-styled truth storian and bookseller Lee Raybon, who is Ethan Hawke, has published an expose about the powerful Washburg clan. Dale Washburg, the black sheep of the family, hides a letter before committing suicide. Investigating the Akron Real Estate Development Group, Lee is approached by a stranger named Marty and is later attacked by skinheads. At Dale's estate sale, Lee discovers the letter, which reveals Dale had hid more letters about the family conspiracy in his collection of Jim Thompson novels. Lee convinces his an antique dealer to acquire the collection for him to exchange for a stolen painting, while tabloid editor Cyrus agrees to publish Lee's follow-up article and gives him a gun for protection. Dale's brother Donald is running for governor, and Lee deduces that he's having an affair with Dale's widow, Betty Joe. Blackie and the two skinheads kidnap Lee, deliver him to an Akron contractor who kills the skinheads instead, unaware that Lee is in their trunk. Freed by Marty, who has been following him, Lee flees in Blackie's car and discovers a large envelope of cash. And that is episode one, the pilot.
It starts with a bang.
There's a
by the,
go ahead.
By the way, for the record, 2 Jim Thompson novels on my shelves.
Oh, very nice.
And I think I've got one on my iPad as well. So,
oh, well done.
I've got The Killer Inside Me and After Dark, My Sweet.
Ah, very good.
He also did, remember The Grifters? Remember that movie? Yeah, I believe he wrote the book for The Grifters.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, he was out for a while. He was kind of the, the hot author. Everybody was making a movie about based on one of his books. They're pulpy, a lot of crime, a lot of like Texas.
Yeah.
A lot of Southern crime and all that stuff.
Do you have a letter from Dale Washburg in one of those?
I don't. I also don't have an original edition.
That's funny. It's too bad. Thoughts on the first episode?
Mike?
I really like Ethan Hawke. I think he's a very good actor. And the fact that his character is beaten repeatedly throughout it. It's not one of those ones where I'm the star and I don't get dirty. It's more like I'm the star and the star is dirty all the time. There's one scene where he's covered in his own blood after yet another beating. And he calls his ex-wife and says, I'm going to come to meet you. And she says, all right, meet me in 20 minutes. And he gets a look at himself and he says, make it 40. Because he's just such a train wreck that just such a mess. Keith David is a tremendous actor. He plays
I love him.
Marty, the private investigator. He's a tremendous actor. I didn't realize he was from went to Juilliard. He's obviously a classically trained actor, and he has always played like the tough guy and everything. He has some of the best lines tremendous. In Armageddon, one of the guilty pleasure watches you have.
Yeah.
Just keeps referring to the guys as the wrong stuff and everything else. It's just,
you know, we talked of a few, one of us did, recently about a show that's been canceled on
Duster
from HBO, Duster.
Yeah.
Where Keith David's the bad guy in the show. Mm-hmm. And the main character, was from Lost. I can't think of his name.
Josh Holloway.
Josh Holloway also gets beaten up a lot. And, it's, as I get older, I really have a problem with seeing this really ongoing aggressive violence in, I have to actually turn my head sometimes because it's just, it's too much. Yeah. The noise, the
whooshiness.
Yes. Yeah. It's gotten, and it kind of gets excessive. And in this, episode one, poor Ethan Hawke, he gets pummeled, and has to walk around covered in blood. And he also has a daughter. We didn't mention that. He has a teenage daughter that is, he's, you know, trying to be a good dad too while he's covered in blood.
While he's taking a beating. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. While taking a beating, yes. I enjoyed the first episode a lot. And I am not like you, Mike. I am not a huge Ethan Hawke fan.
No.
It's always a bit of an effort for me to get past my reservations about him. And once I do, I'm fine. He is such a great actor. He really is. Even with my issues with him, like, and you had with Anna and I do with Anna Kendrick. I don't know if he's won me over, but he's just really good. It's hard not to be impressed by his abilities to do these kinds of quirky roles.
Yeah. I'm not saying everything is great, but you know, he's got a bunch of Academy Award nominations.
Oh, totally.
That's not for
totally.
Nothing. And, yeah. Dead Poets Society and the remake of The Magnificent Seven are both movies worth watching. And he just happens to be in both of them.
I like him in Gattaca. I think that's a very underrated movie.
Is he considered a Brat Packer?
No, I don't think so.
No.
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 But he's of that era.
Yeah, I think he's on the cusp.
On the cusp.
Apparently he's 54.
Yeah.
54. So it's impressive, his career. And then you get to a point, I love seeing actors like this, who just say, F it. I don't care. I'm going to do roles I want to do. And this is one of those kinds of roles where it's quirky, it's fun, it's goofy, it's interesting. And working with a guy like Sterling Harjo, it's really going to be a really interesting episode of my career arc or my career at the moment. And he knocks it. Well, so far, two episodes. It looks like he's just picked a great vehicle and just is doing it. And having fun with it.
And he's just embodying the character. He's just totally on board. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what's cool about it, too, with the first episode, it's like already kind of lived in. You know, they just throw you in the middle of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it feels like it's already been around. It doesn't feel like, you know, they lay the groundwork pretty well.
Yep.
You know,
no backstory. We don't have to watch Batman's parents die in the alley again.
I mean, well, you'll get backstory. I'm sure.
We probably will. Hopefully, we don't do this like 5 years
over and over again.
Yeah. No, at least in the first episodes, we didn't get the what happened 6 months before or 6 years before. It's being told to you. There's no flashbacks so far. I'm very anti-flashback these days. So this is so far so good. But it feels like it's a comfortable shoe to put on. It's not tight fitting, you know, it just wear it.
It's like my Birkenstock.
It's like your Birkenstock.
It's a Birkenstock.
It's a classic. He's, instead of being a cop, you know, he's a bit of a I guess he's a private eye in some weird way.
He's a true historian.
He's a true historian.
That was so good.
We see it in so many other things. He's the not the cop. Who's got some kinds of issues and he's got a family life and he's divorced and he's trying to make that all work together. And he's always got money issues and he's got a business that is falling apart. He's got all these problems, yet he wants to do the right thing. He's trying to work on social justice and tell the truth about some ugly story that he's found out. It's really well set up, at least in episode one. It took me a few minutes to kind of get it all, the names together and who's who, and but that's normal. And because there are so many characters. And,
Emerald.
Emerald.
And we're old.
And we're old. Yes, correct. We are old, and that's an ongoing problem, isn't it?
Yes.
I just thought it was just a really good starter episode to kind of get you into it.
What's the one line that Keith David and then the guy that works at that other magazine, what do they say? Nothing sadder than a white man with a conscience or something like that.
Something like that. Yes. Yes.
They don't know the difference between Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson.
That's right. Yes.
Who does?
That's right.
You do. I bet you do.
Who does? And the guy has an eye patch that matches his ensemble, which is just tremendous.
That is very funny.
I like that guy. I don't know. I've seen him before. I don't remember who he is, but.
Yeah, he looks familiar.
He's right? Really, really good.
It's good to see. We talk about the cast a little bit, but it's good to see some of these folks. I love Jean Triplehorn.
Yeah, she hasn't been around. She was on? She was on, what was that show?
She's been on a few.
Big Love?
Big Love was her big show, right?
Right.
I just saw this thing a few days ago that this was there was a comparison to the first episode to Big Lebowski, which I thought was interesting.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because remember, I think I texted you about casting. Mm-hmm. And I said, when I first saw the poster, I thought it was Kevin Bacon.
Right. Yeah, you said that's right. Yeah.
I really thought it was Kevin Bacon. I could see Kevin Bacon in this. 40 years ago, maybe I could see Tom Waits in this.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you said Big Lebowski, and I was thinking about it as we were talking about it, I can see Jeff Bridges in this too, maybe 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting thrown in the trunk, driven away. Yeah, I can see
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I love when he's in that off in that room in the beginning with the group of in that big mansion. And they ask him if he wants something to drink, and he says he's sober, but he asks for a beer instead.
Well, it's funny because I think I told you when I watched.
Yeah,
I think I told you when I watched Landman. There was the same thing with Billy Bob Thornton. Like he was apparently on the wagon, and he goes to the bar, and he asked for a Michelob Ultra. The guy's like, "Oh, I thought you were off the wagon." He's like, "Look, okay, look, give me 6 Michelob Ultras today. I'll come back tomorrow. Give me 6 whiskeys, and you tell me the difference."
I haven't seen Tim Blake Nelson in quite a while, and it's fun to see him. This is like a role meant for him, a show meant for a Tim Blake Nelson, right? And even even Kyle MacLachlan, more so with Kyle MacLachlan, who has taken on in his life the quirky roles, especially later in life, and loves it. Tim Blake Nelson, that's all he's ever done.
Wait. When did he not take a quirky role, Kyle MacLachlan?
That's probably true.
I mean, you know,
Sex in the City.
He was quirky in Sex in the City, too.
Yeah, but that wasn't such a quirky thing to be in Sex in the City.
No, but he was pretty quirky in it, though.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
You know, he played an alien. What was that one movie? He plays like an alien that comes to Earth.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of Res. I forget what it was. I forget.
Who plays the who's the character, the actor who plays the antiques dealer?
Oh, that's what's his name? He was in part of the what's it called? The Spinal Tap people. What's that guy's name?
Oh, it's Christopher Guest, right?
Yeah, it's not Christopher Guest, but
in that group, right?
Yeah, Michael Hitchcock.
Michael Hitchcock. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yes. He's with what's her name in Best in Show? With the they're like the really really
Parker
spazzy
Posey.
Couple. Yeah, Parker Posey.
Parker Posey.
He's
right.
Parker Posey's husband. What was it called? The Busy Bee.
And he's super thin, and he still has braces, and you know everything weird about him in that one.
They both have braces. I think.
And in this one, he's just is this stolen? Is this what are you doing?
He's great. He's really really
he's
good.
Great.
It's a great cast.
It's a great cast.
I'm looking forward to seeing more Tracy Letts. It's not the first we've seen of Tracy Letts.
That's some fantastic facial hair on him, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I knew Tracy Letts was in it, and it took me a minute to realize who that was. under all that hair, because I still picture him as the Ford versus Ferrari playing Ford.
Right. And again, I mean, you know, the show feels lived in the first episode.
Yeah.
You know, when they walk into that supper club and, you know, he's just harassing the hostess or whatever you want to call her and about the painting in the back. And I actually had to look up the Joe Brainerd or whatever that guy's name is.
Joe Brainerd.
He's a real guy.
He's a real guy. Yeah,
he's a real guy.
And his painting's still missing from that supper club.
Probably so. Yes.
What did he ask for? Oh, he asked for the steak, medium rare, and then crispy on the outside.
Yeah.
On the outside.
And a little bit of A1 if you got it.
That's episode one.
We're gonna
move on. Reminder, this is What We Watch When We Drink. We are talking about The Lowdown, and we are also drinking Milam & Green's brand new Provisions, a blend of straight bourbon whiskeys. Ange had this great idea also, which we don't do too often, is to make a cocktail with this. With this bourbon.
You're damn right.
And our assignment was to all make a old fashioned.
Old fashioned our way.
Our way. Whatever Emphasis way we want old. It. Right. Like just and like Burger King. So why don't we go around the room? Mike, do you have one?
I didn't make one.
Mike, you did not make one. Ange, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you made it, and I'll tell you about mine, then we can taste them and see how we think this this bourbon performs in a cocktail. We think it'll be good.
Well, I kept it simple. I did a half an ounce of simple syrup, no funky demerara, just plain old cane sugar and water. I did bitters. I did 6 drops of McMahon & Tate bitters, the Moroccan orange bitters. And then I did 6 drops of their wildly aromatic bitters because we love McMahon & Tate. And why the hell not?
And you're and wildly what aromatic.
So. What do you say about the Moroccan? What is it? It's artisanal, right?
It's artisanal. I think you put the word Moroccan in front of anything, it makes it better.
Yeah.
And increases the price. It increases the price a lot.
Yeah. 2 ounces of the bourbon, a cherry, orange peel, and a rock. And that's pretty much it.
That's the simple solution to it, making a great
impression. That's it.
Well, it is very similar. I also use McMahon & Tate's Moroccan orange bitters. And I used... Trader Joe's maple syrup.
Ooh.
And for my sugar. And I too have a big rock and lemon, orange peel, and 3 cherries because I like those cherries.
Ooh. Did you put them on a toothpick? Did you use a toothpick?
I did. Of course I did.
Is it bamboo? Is it a bamboo stick?
It's a little bamboo guy, yeah.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Yeah. All you need now is the little, the little tiki head on the top.
I have those too, but I have stainless steel ones with the little tiki heads on. We can talk a little bit cocktail here a little bit. And you gave me, I don't know, Mike, do you do this? Do you make your own ice cubes at all?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, I just use regular ice. Not fancy.
Ange and I got into it. Ange got me into it. And kudos to all the folks out there on YouTube land who put out videos on how to make clear ice.
Academics. He even wrote a book, right?
Camper English out in San Francisco, who wrote a book about it. By the way, it's cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Salud.
Cheers.
Gentan.
Oh, that's delicious.
Mm. Nothing wrong with that drink.
Nope, that's good.
By the way, there may have been some underage drinking. Someone may have snuck in.
Hey now!
And it put a smile on his face. That's all I'm going to say.
You would not be the underage person, I assume.
So I wish I was underage.
So it's fun for the whole family.
Yes. It is.
I wish I was this sophisticated when I was underage.
No kidding.
Yes.
So
can I have one?
Go right ahead.
So there's an article out there on the interwebs. It was in GQ magazine. I don't know how long ago, and the title of the article was "Are You Raising a Douchebag?" So
was it a quiz?
Yeah, it was like that. Pretty much, I think everything we're doing, right? You know, one kid is ordering 72-ounce tomahawk steaks. Another one's taking his dad to sake, sushi, Japanese bars, and
One's making old fashions for his girlfriend.
So I would say we did a good job. We raised a bunch of douchebags. God bless them all.
One,
God
one
love them all. God
and
love
one
them
I know is a like a baker in training, I believe.
Baker, smoker,
baker, soon smoker.
To be.
Yes.
He's going to go to Edinburgh to learn distilling and brewing.
Just an eater.
Eater in training.
What he's doing right now, he's socking all his money away in Bitcoin. And then when he graduates from University of Edinburgh with his bourbon distilling degree, he's going to buy up a distillery and a brewery that's going to go out of business in the next 7 years, because you know it's going to happen.
So he's just going to go to Ireland, buy all of it.
There you go. He's going to buy the island.
He's going to buy it all.
Okay. Nice.
His Bitcoin's going to go through the roof.
He's going to Branson. He's going to buy the island.
Yes. Should we move on to episode 2?
Sure.
Well, first I want to hear about the cocktails.
Oh, the cocktails. Yeah.
Do they work?
It really does. It works really well.
So.
Do you like it better than drinking it by itself? About the same?
No, about the same.
I think it shows the versatility of this bourbon.
And that's what
you can drink this on. You can drink it on its own for sure. We prove that.
And I am.
And you are.
And this is a high rye bourbon.
Correct.
Do you typically use a high rye when you make a cocktail?
I would typically use rye for an old fashioned.
You go rye.
I usually
go rye, bourbon.
And this is a more than satisfactory substitute.
Absolutely.
Correct. Great. Absolutely. Yeah. This is definitely, I think.
And I think thanks to the low ABV, this does make it for a more leisurely cocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Because, I mean, we've used 120 proof bourbon in an old fashioned. Yeah. That has a little bit more of a kick. This is more, easy drinking.
Subtle.
This is the good middle of the week drink. This is not the, I gotta wake up tomorrow at 6
Friday
and
night.
Be in the office.
Yeah. This is a good Tuesday night cocktail because it's not.
I wouldn't loaded. Turn it away on a Friday night.
I would not either.
So just saying.
No, it's very good. I was gonna say about the ice cubes. So Ange and I got into making our own clear ice cubes using directional freezing. Fancy terms here. And Ange gave me a tip that I used tonight, and it really worked. I always have the problem where I put an ice cube in one of these big rocks, in a rocks glass, and immediately I will pour whatever I need to pour on, the spirit usually, if I'm making an old fashioned, and you inevitably get cracking. Just so all of a sudden that nice big clear rock is now shattering a bit. Ange told me about kind of tempering the ice cube by letting it sit out for a few minutes. He sits in the fridge.
Well, only because it was in there for a while.
I did that too before I actually made the cocktail. I had it all ready to go and just really needed the ice to, and then
I mean,
the,
just a couple the bourbon. Minutes.
And it really worked. This ice cube is still clear and not cracked.
Thermal shock. You want to avoid thermal shock.
Thermal shock, yeah.
I
suppose another thing you could do is actually put your bourbon in a refrigerator to make it cold, so it's closer to the.
Comme ci, comme ça.
Yeah.
I don't use directional freezing. I use the side by side, and then there's some rocks in there that just come right out of the glass. Just push the little button.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's not so directional, except right into the glass.
It goes north to south.
Well.
Yeah,
I like to say at work when they get the income statements and they see it's directionally correct.
It's directional.
I don't even know what that means. What does directionally correct mean?
It's going this way, not
it's
this
going
way.
In the direction I want it to go in. Is that what it means by directionally correct?
I
don't have any idea.
I don't know.
But your place just had a $400 million loss, didn't they? I don't know what direction they're headed towards.
Oh, I'll tell you where we're heading. I just need six more years.
I kid because I care. And Shohei Ohtani has hit a home run.
Yes, he has. It's one of the Dodgers in the third inning. Yes.
He set the tone.
He set the tone. Okay, we are going to go on to episode 2 with our...
Yankees lost.
Yes, they did. And the Cubbies beat the Padres earlier today. And Detroit beat the... Detroit beat Cleveland. And Tarik Skubal had 14 strikeouts. Oof. Pretty impressive. He's an incredible pitcher. Okay. Season episode 2 of the Lowdown, and can give you a little rundown on the episode 2. we're really getting into the story now, right? This episode's called The Devil's Mama. A battered Lee, again, that's Ethan Hawke, uses some of the skinhead's cash that he found as an overdue child support for his ex-wife, Samantha, taking their daughter, Frances, for the weekend, leaving her with his bookstore employee, Deidre, who we Deidre is another nice, quirky character in the show. Lee pays Deidre's recently paroled cousins, Waylon and Henry, to dispose of Blackie's car. Those two guys are, they remind me of the two short Native Americans on Reservation Dogs.
The rappers?
The rappers, yes. Cyrus's office was vandalized by the skinheads, and Lee poses as a friend of Blackie to question his mother, Bonnie, whose boyfriend, Phil, confirms that Blackie and Berta were working for Alan, a fellow racist ex-convict, who paid them for a job where Dale lived. Donald's wife, Marianne, is aware of the affair, and Dale and Betty Jo's daughter, Pearl, returns home for her father's funeral, where Lee publicly accuses Donald of working with white supremacists. Marty reveals himself as a private investigator hired by Donald to follow Lee, who berates him for refusing to believe a greater conspiracy is afoot. Waylon and Henry post a rap video of themselves burning the car, and Alan visits Lee's bookstore with a veiled threat to stop his investigation. So we really get into things a little bit here, and it gets a little more detailed, and really finding more quirkiness going on with all these other characters that are kind of introduced. Anyone want to jump in? Thoughts?
Mike?
I love those two guys, those two characters, you know, the security of the bookstore.
Yeah.
They are
what I thought was interesting, this one, in the first episode, Cyrus, his friend who runs the paper, they gave him a gun, and despite the gun, he wound up getting beaten up and thrown into the trunk. And throughout this one, when he talks to different people, they all make fun of him because you had a gun. I don't understand. What happened to you?
You had a gun.
You had a gun. How did you run up in the trunk? You had a gun.
Yes.
This develops, I think, more of the other characters, and you get to see a different side of some of the people.
Yeah.
And Kyle MacLachlan and Gene Triplehorn's characters are just without any redemption at this point. They're just terrible people.
So, correct. Yeah.
He's running for governor, and she's the widow of his brother, and yet they appear to be having a dalliance, and it doesn't seem as if it's for the first time.
Correct.
So, right. When Tim Blake Nelson killed himself, this may have been one of the contributing factors.
Right. Is this the, does this episode start with Ethan Hawke driving away from the where the two skinheads are murdered, as I recall? Yes. Right. And he's driving.
Picks up where the first one ended.
Correct. Right. So he, and when I, it's been a few days since I saw this, but he's driving away in their car, right? And that he was stuck in the trunk of,
yep,
where bullets were flying, you know, around. Now he's driving that car covered in blood down this road, and he's frantic about it. That shot of him driving, hit 10 and 2 on the wheel, on the wheel, covered in blood, is hilarious.
And yeah. And when he's he immediately goes to like a quickie mart, you know, a gas station with a bathroom,
yes,
clean himself up. And on the way out, he sees, you know, the just the sad sack behind the counter, and says to her, I'll give you $1,000 if you give me this, and
she's
and,
doing
and a makeup tutorial.
She's doing her own makeup at the time with a YouTube video. Yes.
So he can go and cover up yet another black eye for a beat.
Yes. Yes. Right. He gets all cleaned up and
in the gas station bathroom.
In the gas station. It is, there are, I love that, even that's a great character,
yeah,
right? This little side character, right? Yeah.
We'll never see her again, probably. But she
probably
was great.
Not.
She was great.
Yeah.
By the way.
And there was in Reservation Dogs, there was a lot of that too. There was all these characters that you saw just for, one-offs.
You know, I had a thought. You know, and like, I think it was the first episode when he takes the girl to the stockyard, where they're auctioning off the
camera. His daughter.
Right.
The daughter.
And then Kyle MacLachlan's there, and he's, I think he's rubbing the widow's back, you know, Gene's back or whatever. And the daughter's like, you know, her ears start to perk up, like, oh, now this really got interesting. All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. And, you know, when they're all following around, it just popped into my head. You saw The Wire, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Remember when McNulty takes his kids to like their version of Reading Terminal and they're tracking Stringer Bell?
Yep.
And the kids are just all into it. They're playing like detective.
Correct.
Yeah. It just reminded me of that just now. And if that wasn't the inspiration, I'd be surprised. I would be surprised.
I thought from that scene that you're talking about that I wondered if, you know, he's got this odd relationship with his daughter because there's a divorce and he's, you know, trying to stay classic, you know, TV dad situation. Right. And trying to, you know, stay, wants to be the fun dad, but he has, you know, his life to deal with, whether he like, you know, kind of sucks her in a little bit. She kind of figures out things and she wants to be with him, you know, along the way here on not being the total private eye kind of thing, but just, she goes along for the ride in some ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And in this, the second episode, she just tells him, you don't have to lie to me.
Yeah.
Like
she's way smarter than he is.
Just, yeah. Just tell me what's going on. You don't have to lie.
She's really good. That girl's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. What was her name?
Her name's Ryan Kira Armstrong.
Ryan Kira
Armstrong. She's really good. There's been a lot of these like young actresses that are just every once in a while they pop up.
Oh, I do know who this is. I didn't finish this show. I'm looking at her bio here. She was in one of the Star Wars spinoffs called Skeleton Crew.
Oh, really?
Which is sort of like maybe like Goonies, one of those, you know, a throwback kind of version of Star Wars. A bunch of kids, you know, try to solve a mystery.
Right.
And she's one of the kids. And she's, I only got through like four episodes, but she's really good in that. She's also an American Horror Story in 2023, Red Tide.
So she kind of reminds me of an older version of Natalie Portman in The Professional.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
I get that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like the tag along, like, well, what are we doing today? Okay, sure. Let's go do this.
Yeah. She's very good. I love those little, those characters that, you know, she could just be the daughter, you know, and never, you don't really see much of her, but she's going to have a role in this, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
As we get farther along.
Well, it was nice too. I think it was also first episode where she's like kind of basically giving dad an out. Like, look, you know, if you can't handle it,
I'll go live with mom.
That was nice though. I mean, I thought it was a really nicely written scene where he's just like, look,
yes.
Never in the history of dads and daughters has dad ever said, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, come on, that's a great idea. Thanks.
And you don't want to hear that, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine if you said, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, she'd be heartbroken, right?
Her mom, we could talk about her and mess up her name a million times till Sunday. Kenahitio Horn. She's a Canadian actress.
Can we just call her Ms. Horn?
We call her Ms. Horn.
I don't think that was close either.
But. We don't think hopefully her role is going to grow a little bit on this show. Hope so.
It will.
I know I've talked about her many times on this podcast.
You got a little crush on her, don't you?
I do have a little crush on her. She
okay.
Most recently was in a recurring role in Reservation Dogs. Mm-hmm. So that's how she's, you know, part of this whole dear lady, mythical character, as a Native American mythological character who's part deer. And before that, from a Canadian show, Letter Kenny, where she plays a local who owns a minor league hockey team, basically an adult hockey league team. And that's a team of mostly tribal gentlemen.
Does
she
know
the
tough natives? I
was
gonna say those tough natives.
She has a lot of tough natives that are in her like posse. It is redundant. Yes, but she's really good, and she has a fascinating background. Her mom was a very, very well known political activist in Canada for Canadians,
Indigenous people.
Folks, people's rights, yeah. Very important. And she's now getting bigger roles. And this, you know, you fall into the what's the other guy's name from New Zealand director?
Oh.
That can never.
Taika Waititi?
Okay, who, thank you. Him and Sterling Harjo, you know, they've partnered up on things. You fall into their worlds, you really are falling into a really good place. You're going to get more jobs. You're going to work with him or them. It's
the old Mercury Theater. You know,
it totally is.
The recurring characters. So
these like the Christopher Guest. Yeah, like Christopher Guest and his Guest guys.
We've said this 1,000 times. Why wouldn't you want to work with your friends?
Yeah.
That's right. And right. I've seen a couple interviews with Ms. Horn, and she found this to be really an exciting bit of work, different than what she's done before. And working with, you know, this group of people is, and working with Ethan Hawke is just, you know, that raises the bar a lot, right? And I'm excited about what her role is going to be in this going forward. So another good little character that we're going to grow with. Other thoughts, gentlemen, on the show?
I'm excited to see
episode 3.
I think it drops tonight too.
It did. I almost watched it.
Oh, it's out. Okay.
But then I wind up saying things and you yell at me because it was beyond the homework.
Yeah.
What? We're doing extra?
You're a terrible professor.
We stopped doing the extra credit thing. Yeah.
I'm old school. No. You either did the work or you didn't do the work.
Yeah.
That's a snowflake.
So it's a really fun show. Fun, you know, being relative, but it's fun. It's got fun moments.
Yeah. If Ethan Hawke, it's not a fun show.
he really is good. You know, he was in a series about John Brown, you know, during the Civil War.
Yep.
He was really good in that. He's good at character. He's just good at characters. He really is.
Funny thing about actors. Funny thing about actors.
Some actors are the same. It's the same role over.
Yeah, I don't see him as being the same person in every role. Yeah,
no. They're just playing themselves, and in some of these, you know, they embody the character.
Yes.
Did you ever see him Before Sunrise or Before Sunset? Those two.
I did not.
What's the third one? Before Midnight? Is that what it is?
Maybe. I've never seen them. My son was talking about them. He said they were really good, and I've always been kind of curious, but I never got around to them.
The only thing I know about it is he did the screenplay for two of the three, maybe all three. But two of the three, he was nominated for Academy Awards for Best Screenplay.
Really? He wrote them? I didn't realize that.
Well, he wrote them in conjunction with other people.
But Richard Linklater, I guess.
Yeah, Richard Linklater. But he was nominated for that. And then two nominations for acting.
Okay.
So.
I'm going to look at that gentleman's list. It's pretty impressive, I assume, right? Filmography. Yeah.
Start with Dead Poets, man. That's a pretty good place to start.
Dead Poets, White Fang, Reality Bites, Gattaca, Great Expectations. I mean, just the women he's worked with. It's pretty. Winona Ryder, Uma Thurman, Gwyneth Paltrow.
And he married Uma Thurman.
That's right.
Co-starred alongside Julie Delpy in Richard Linklater's Before trilogy.
All three of them, right? Right?
Right. Yep. Before Sunrise, Sunset, and Midnight. Training Day. Angelina Jolie, Lord of the War with Nicolas Cage, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead with Philip Seymour Hoffman, Brooklyn's Finest with Richard Gere, co-wrote and starred in The Hottest State, supernatural horror film Sinister, The Purge with Lena Headey, and that's a whole franchise. What else? Maggie's Place, Born to be Blue, The Magnificent Seven, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Juliet Naked, The Black Phone, The Northman, John Brown in that Showtime series, The Good Lord Bird, The Last Movie Stars, so Marvel, Moon Knight, he's Moon Knight as Arthur Harrow. So he's done a lot. It's just, it's pretty incredible. And
Jamie can't get work. It really is.
Can't get work. And also has done various TV things. God, he was an Alias, Robot Chicken, Reservation. He was in Reservation Dogs.
That's right.
He's Laura's dad.
That's right. He was good in that too. He was good.
Yes, most definitely. And I'm sure that's where he got together with Sterling Harjo.
Yeah.
And then theater. He's done all kinds of theater, right? That's probably where he started. So just a just a really wonderful actor. And this kind of character is kind of built for an Ethan Hawke, I think. So,
or Kevin Bacon.
Or Kevin Bacon. Yes, correct.
Or young, you know.
Or somebody who passed on this movie and realizes they shouldn't have passed on.
No, what was I thinking?
Why? That's right, exactly.
Why?
But yeah, it's good. I'm really curious to see where it goes. More Keith David. His voice is just spectacular.
It is. He's a.
You know what? You know what I loved is when they're in the. He goes into the diner where he had first met Keith David.
Yeah.
And he asks the counter woman, and says, "You know, the guy was talking to me, the poet," and she's playing like she has no idea. You know, the black guy. And then she's like, nah, you know, the guy, it makes him say something about the voice. And then she jumps right in about, oh, I could listen to that voice all day.
Yes.
Oh, he's so good. He's so, I mean, come on. There's something about Mary. How'd you get the prank above the beans? He just, he was spectacular.
That's right. Yeah. Juilliard trained Frankie Beans.
He's good. And that show I talked about last time, High Life.
Yeah.
Love Life. He is the narrator on the.
Oh.
Second season.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Huh.
The one thing that I don't like about Wikipedia is while I can research anybody and, you know, almost cyber stalk them, they'll list the class they were in at Juilliard.
Yeah.
But they don't typically list all the people they went to Juilliard with.
Where
I'm always interested to be like, all right, you were there at this point in time. Who else was there with you? Like, who else is from Juilliard that I had would have no idea you were from Juilliard? And you're all, everyone, like, hanging out right now. Like, he was there from 75 to 79.
Kevin Kline, maybe?
And you wonder, like, were you there with Kevin Kline? Were you there? Like, I think B.B. Newworth was there. I think there was, like, a whole bunch. Like, everybody that I've been watching since the mid-80s, were you in class with everyone?
Well... He was.
Aaron sounds
also,
like he's part of the typing pool from 1956.
Yes, correct. He was with James Moody, Coleman Domingo.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
They're not
another
the same
member.
Age.
He was in Group 8 at the Juilliard School alongside other talented actors like Coleman Domingo, according to the 2024 Juilliard Instagram post.
Yeah, so, but you wonder, like, who are all these people that were in here? This is crazy.
Well, how old is Coleman Domingo? He's not that old, is he?
And then, like, he's group 8. Who was in group 7 and group 9? So, like, your classes overlapped.
And, right.
And they just produce so much talent.
Oh, it's insane.
And you'd never know they were classically trained actors.
Correct.
Because they're just so good at what they do.
Yep. Really interesting. Really cool. All right, gentlemen, that was a... We really went down the rabbit hole here with the lowdown. Let's go back to, by the way, as you said, Mike, episode 3 drops tonight. I think there's 8 or 10 episodes in the season. Comes out weekly. I think we're all going to stick with it. It's really fun. Let's go back to our Marlon McGreen. Again, a thank you to the folks there for keeping us on the list and sending us these wonderful bottles. Of the provisions blend, the new blend of straight bourbons. Last thoughts on this whiskey?
Delicious.
I think I like it.
I think it's pretty delicious. I think this is going to go quick. I think this is going to be one of those like, I need a whiskey for just kind of like, you know, table whiskey.
I think this is my 7th bottle of Milam & Greene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got probably 5 or 6
of them. And I think they've gotten progressively better.
Yeah.
I think this might be my favorite now.
Well, they really, you know, between Marlene and Heather, they've really got a great team recipe, whatever you want to call it, about knowing what works well together and experimenting. We've seen some really interesting experiments on the beginnings with those, like the rye finish in a port barrel and this is a little more traditional here, just a blend of bourbons. They really, that's probably more Heather than anyone else, is what is great on the palate. What makes a great whiskey that you can use as a session whiskey, as a cocktail whiskey, an everyday whiskey. They know these are professionals. These are pros. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they've hit a home run here. And this is a price point that is so reasonable for this quality of bourbon.
What's that, price point again?
It was, well, on the website, it said $36. So that's suggested retail. That's probably where I can't imagine this being.
That's tough to beat.
It's tough to beat when you're getting this kind of quality.
Yeah.
It's a small batch bourbon, I'm guessing. We don't know that, how big the batch was. We don't know that. But probably something that they're going to, obviously, this is the first edition. They're probably going to come up with a little different profile next time, next year.
Or put the batch somewhere else, so it's not at Edwards Plateau. It's some other spot.
Aging somewhere else. Yep. So cheers to the Mile End Green team. Thank you again for thinking of us. We love you guys. Great add-on to the whole line of Mile End Green. East Texas whiskeys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yaman.
Love the whiskey. Love the bottle. Love the little
packaging. Great.
Everything about it.
Yep.
Everything about it.
This wonderful, again, celebration of International Podcast Day podcast will be out as a podcast next week sometime. Yeah,
next week.
And next week. And you can download it whenever. This was a fun, boys. This was a good start to the fall season of whiskey podcasts.
And don't forget, Red October, most important of all.
That's right.
And right. Well, and Blue October, they're now up 5-0.
Yes, wow. I know. Home runs by Teo Hernandez. Teo
Hernandez and Tommy Edman.
Got to say, the Dodgers do have great names. They do have really, really good names for the players.
Yes. Freddie Freeman. Kike. Really? Freddie Freeman. We're going with Freddie Freeman.
Mookie. Kike Hernandez. What's the other guy you just said? Teo Oscar? What's his name?
Teo Oscar. Hernandez.
Shohei Ohtani? Come on.
Shohei Ohtani.
Well, it's a great name. If we get to a game 3 in this series, or game 1 or 2 against the Phillies, we will see history with Mr. Ohtani batting and pitching in the same game in a playoff game. That will be something. That will be something to tell the kids about, tell the grandkids about.
Not since Ruth, right?
Probably not
since Red Sox.
Yeah.
Since Ruth, where you had a home run threat and a power pitcher.
Yeah. This is not just Don Drysdale coming up to the plate. This is a whole different animal, for sure. All right, gentlemen, this was great. Thank you again to Mile End Green. And we highly recommend The Lowdown on FX with Ethan Hawke and company.
We just gave them the skinny on The Lowdown.
We give them the skinny on The Lowdown. That's right.
That's right.
All right, gents, shall we play us out?
Play us out. All right. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys.
If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.